All right. How many of you guys have gotten chased by a bear before? Anybody?
Raccoon.
No? Raccoon? That's about the same thing. Yeah. Totally the same. All right. So can you cheat and tell me what we've been studying? What have we been looking at for a while now? It's on the screens.
Ecclesia.
So one time you're allowed to cheat and it's okay. It's not saying what? Ecclesia. I thought you said I can see you. I was like, I know because I'm right here. Yeah. Yes. Ecclesia. What does ecclesia mean? We talked about it. Yes, it means a church, and break it up for me. Let's be really smart. Huh?
Being called out.
Called out, yeah, of what?
Sin.
Into?
Christ.
Jesus, right? So we have a whole new identity. We become new people. We're not his enemy. We're now his children that he loves, and he's on our side. And so we're totally new. All right. So knowing that about the church, we studied some stuff the church does, right? What are things the church does for each other? We called it one anothering. Do you remember a few of those? Yeah, help call them out of sin. What else?
Restore.
Restore them, yep. Call them out for a purpose, not just to be mean, but because you love them for Christ. What?
When one hurts, we all hurt.
When one hurts, we all hurt. We share in each other's pain. So we said that's like we're caring for one another or loving one another. What else do we do for each other?
Rebuke,
yep. Anything else? What if I accidentally bump into you and knock you all the way down the stairs? Okay, forgiveness. Yeah, we forgive each other and we confess our sins to each other, right? Like we ask for forgiveness and we forgive. How about we pray? We did this like 3 or 4 times already tonight. We pray for each other. And so the church does all these different things for each other for a purpose. Why is the church doing things for each other? What was the purpose of all that? You remember? To build each other up in what? In Christ, and the word in the Bible says in love. And so we use that love, all those awesome loving things we do for each other to build each other up. What does that mean to build each other up? I take Dustin and start like hammering some boards into them, making them taller, giving them like, what does building each other up mean? Encouragement, right? In their faith, so that when we walk out of this place, we can say, I believe even more in Jesus now. So that as things come and come into our life, whether it be a trial or a hard time, we're able to look at that and say, you know what? I believe in Jesus. And sometimes in those hard times, it's hard to say that. It can shake our faith. And then in the good times, we can rejoice and say, I believe in Jesus. And so the thing we're building up in each other is our faith to believe in Christ and to live it out. So that's what the church is doing. That's why we're doing all this one anothering. And then we see a verse like tonight, which is going to finish our series tonight in Ecclesia. This is our last of this series. So we're going to see the result of what all this is supposed to do. What's the result that comes out of this if we're actually being the church of Christ? So I want you guys to look with me real quick. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. We're going to look there. And did you notice something crazy about the dude as you're turning there? The dude on the video I just showed you, like that lady is like trapped under a log. She's out hiking and a tree falls on her or whatever, and this dude comes along. What was he not doing?
Helping.
Pretty much anything. I like that answer. Anything. He definitely wasn't helping. Why didn't he help?
Because he thought he was an expert.
He thought he didn't know. He wasn't an expert on pretty much anything that she asked about. And so because he wasn't an expert, he just did nothing. And so the point is that do you have to be an expert to help somebody like not get eaten by a bear? Hopefully not, right? Like, do you have to be an expert to walk? Do you have to be an expert to do some of the things that he was saying he was doing? No, because we do it. I'm not an expert at those things, but we do it every day. But sometimes we have that excuse when we talk about telling people about Jesus. Or living like the church. We say, oh, I'm not an expert at that. Like, I'm not a pastor. I can't do that. Or I'm not a life group leader. I'm not an adult. I'm not a... And you can fill in the blank with the excuses sometimes we use where we're like, I just don't know enough. I'm not trained enough. I'm not prepared enough. I'm not old enough. So I'm just not going to do it. And so especially I would say like junior high, you guys are like at that age right now. Like you're in middle school. You guys are thinking, or some of you just about to enter middle school, right? And you're thinking like, you know, I don't know if I'm old enough to really like do this stuff. I would tell you that Jesus says you are. If you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit's in you, and you can already be the church. You're not, we're like the adults in our church, we're not waiting around for you guys to be like, one day you'll be a good member here. One day you'll be able to do stuff like we do. We're like, you're already a part of our church. You're already able to love other people and forgive other people and pray for other people. You're already to be an example right now at your age where you're at in middle school to each other and even to, like, let's say, like senior adults. There's no age limit on this thing. Church is the church, and you're a valid member right now of the body of Christ. I want you guys to know that and remember that. And so, hopefully you're there, right? 1 John 1, 1 to 4, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. What are they talking about? Stop right there. What's John, who's he talking about? What has he seen with his own eyes and heard from the beginning and touched with his own hands? Like, what is it? Who is this? Jesus, right? Who's the word of life? Christ. The life was made manifest and we've seen it. Like, okay, so life came to earth. Real life, true life came to earth in a body, and his name was Jesus. And testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing these things to you so that, see those words, so that, those are important words, because you're like, here's the result. That's what that means. Like, here's what happens after. Our joy may be complete. All right, so in case you didn't catch that, he said what we saw and touched and felt and heard and all these things like 4 or 5 times in there. He was making a really big point that they've seen something really awesome. They haven't just seen it, they experienced it. They got to touch it. They got to smell it. They got to be a witness of this thing, this awesome, incredible, mind-blowing thing that he's talking about here, that he's like, I know, so don't even, you don't have to doubt me. I am a, like, eyewitness testimony of what happened. If something crazy happened over, let's say, in the mall today, like, I don't know, some spaceship flew down from Mars and, like, landed in the mall parking lot, and I was there, and I was like, there were these green dudes, and they came off, and they had antennas, and they were eating people, and I saw it myself. You'd be like, what? You saw it with your own eyes? And be like, yes, I saw it. Would be different from like, yeah, I heard from a dude who heard from a dude and heard from his uncle that like over in Texas somewhere, like this, like that's not as believable, is it? Because you're like, that's probably just a lie. It's probably just this rumor that got passed around. John's saying, I saw this with my own eyes. This incredible thing. And who he's talking about is Jesus. He's like, I saw the Son of God himself who brings life, and I personally witnessed it and lived next to him and walked next to him and talked to him. I touched the holes in his hands. Like, this guy is the one who rose again from the dead. And I'm telling you, because I experienced it with my own life. And he's like, all of that, this is what I'm going to tell you, that got us something, that made us something. And what he's talking about is, when Jesus did that, he took us out of the world, like we talked about, and he put us into him. He made us brand new. He said, now you're my children. I love you. You're not my enemy. And we get something. Verse 3, he tells us what that is. He says, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Now this thing of the church, this is called fellowship. We are the fellowship. We're partners. That word fellowship is another word for partner. We're a bunch of partners that are here working together like partners do for a goal. What do you think that goal is? Why are we? What are we partnering in? What are we working toward together as a team? Any thoughts? To bring hope of the gospel, the good news of Jesus to people who are going to go to hell forever. Like, that's really big news, and that's why he's so adamant, like, I know how you can have life. Now, it's one thing if we're all sitting here and we're like, I believe in Jesus, so I'm cool, Rob. Like, just go ahead, keep talking. Like, I already got that, so no big deal. What if you were sitting here tonight and you never did? What if tonight you're sitting here and you never got saved and now you're on your way to hell? You just picture what that would be like for you to be here and be like, man, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. And I'm on my way to hell. What that must feel like for people who don't know Christ. I don't know if you can remember back to that time before you got saved when that was true of you. And so when someone talks about life, and you know you don't have it, like, you listen. And when someone says, I'm not just going to talk to you about life, I'm going to talk to you about a life I've experienced and seen and tasted and touched and smelled. Like, I know this is real. Jesus has changed my life. He's given me eternal life. I have it. I know it. I've experienced it, like, personally. And you can have it too. When you're sitting there and you don't have it and you're on your way to hell, your ears perk up and you're like, tell me about this. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know God. I want to be forgiven. I want to be taken out of the world and punishment and be put into Jesus' family. Can you tell me about that? And we are working as a fellowship. We have that fellowship to bring that to the world. Because there's a world out there that doesn't know what most of us do, and we sit here a lot and we take it for granted. They're like, yeah, that's cool. I know. I've heard. I have that. And the world's out there going, I've never heard that. I don't have that. I might be on my way to hell right now. So this fellowship has a mission, which we talked about. It's to bring the gospel to the world as we love God and love others. So this fellowship is cool because it like binds us together, it like ties us together as a team between us and between us and God. It's a two-way deal. So like now I look around and I see my family, if you're a believer in Christ. Like, you're my brothers and sisters in Jesus. And we're connected in that way, in the fellowship. But there's also a fellowship that we have with the God of the universe. We talked about how He's the King. And for us to like enter the throne room of a king and not just be like killed like right there. Like, what are you doing here? You know, security jumps down on you and kills you. Like, He's the King. Well, you can't just walk in there. And God's like, you can. You can. You can. Because I made you my child. I took you out of the world. You can walk in my throne whenever you want. Nobody's going to pounce on you. It's open. You have free reign to walk into my throne room. That's fellowship with God that we don't deserve, but His Son gave that to us. This is awesome news. And that's why John's so excited. And so what he says at the very end, did you catch that? Verse 4, after he tells us about this incredible fellowship we have with each other and with God, it produces something. We're writing these things so that, ready? Our joy may be complete. This fellowship produces joy in us. Think about it. I'm not going to hell forever. Like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, that's awesome news. Like, how can you not be excited that you don't have to burn forever in a place of wrath that God has designed to punish His enemies? Instead, I get to go to a paradise and live with the God who created me and loves me forever. That's incredible news. That puts joy in our hearts to say, Lord, I didn't deserve that. And yet you did it for me. Like, I'm that loved. And so this joy is what I want us to look at tonight. That's the result of this fellowship. As we're building each other up, as we're doing these things for one another, it should constantly remind us what Jesus did for us. The joy doesn't just come because we're cool people and it's fun to hang with Dustin. It's like, yes, dude, you like, I'm pumped to hang with you. And it makes me joyful. Like, you're a cool dude. That's part of it. But He keeps reminding me in our fellowship of what Jesus did. He keeps reminding me in our fellowship of how awesome my God is. And that's where this joy comes from. That's how we build each other up in the faith, believing that He really did that for us. And that causes joy in our hearts. And so, I want you to look at the verse we're going to be camped in tonight. There's two verses. It's Acts chapter 2. Flip over there real quick. Just a couple more books back from 1 John. It's near the beginning of the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. We keep like going back to this passage because it's the birth of the church. It's like the brand new church. What were they doing? How were they living? What does this fellowship look like as Jesus and the Holy Spirit like fills them? And so we're looking there again to see like, what is this joy they had? So here we go, Acts 2, 46 and 47. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. All right, do you hear, like, he used the same phrase twice in there. Did you catch it? The really smart, quick, fast people have caught it, right? Which, what are the two? What's the one phrase he uses twice? It's Jeopardy, by the way, if you've never seen it. There you go. Yes, you even sang it, so you get extra points. Bonus points. Day by day. Why is he saying day by day? What does that mean? Every single day. Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory. Daily, every single day. This was like a frequent thing that was happening, constantly happening. And it says that they were attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. Those are the first two things it says they were doing. And we've already talked about this verse before, back a couple weeks back. So this is just a quick review. But this was a rhythm in their life. This was this deal where every single day they were studying God's Word together. They're doing what we're doing right now. They're coming in and saying, teach us something. We want to know the Bible. Will you open the Bible up? Tell us about God. Encourage our hearts today. Make us excited that we're saved, that we're not going to hell. Remind us of what Jesus has done. And so they're doing that in the temple every single day, but they're doing more than that. Then they're leaving and they're going to each other's homes. And they're practicing the stuff they're learning. It's kind of like you guys going off into life groups and then spending throughout the week with your family and your friends and your life groups, hopefully too, as you're like doing stuff together and talking to each other and maybe texting each other, encouraging each other. Like, I hope you're having a good day today. I hope you're remembering how awesome Jesus is, that He saved you. I know you're struggling with that sin. I'm praying for you. I want you to know that. And we're every single day, we're not just studying the Word, but we're practicing the Word. We're obeying it. Like that guy Tao I told you about a couple weeks ago, read through and just did what it said. Whatever it said, he just did it. We're obeying what we read here because we believe it's real. Now, we call it a rhythm because it's happening constantly. Like we're coming to church and then we're going out with each other and practicing the Word. We're coming to church and we're going out. What if, like, because life has a lot of natural rhythms, right? Like, we just do that. There are things that naturally we have to do in rhythm. If you were to spend an entire week without this rhythm in your life, what it would be like? What it would be like? What did I just say? How about eating? You spend a week without the rhythm of eating. Most of us, 3 to 20 times a day, you eat, right? So that's a rhythm, whether it's frequent or not as frequent for others. You can tell my frequency, okay? What if we were to go an entire week without eating? That'd be a pretty disruptive thing for your life, right? You're like, I need that rhythm in my life to every day, a couple times a day, I eat. That's something my body needs. Some of you get super grumpy if you miss your one Snicker bar for the day, right? Like that commercial, like Betty White. You're like, eh. But how about this one? How about water? An entire week without water. Could you even make it? Can you even live a whole week without water? How about breathing? You see, like, we start off with eating. Okay, maybe I could go a week, but I would not like it. And water, I don't think I could survive. I definitely would be dead in a matter of, like, minutes without air. I have to breathe. I need that rhythm in my life. It's so important. And we can get a little weird, but it's like, how about using the bathroom? Like, you know, like, that'd be pretty uncomfortable. You gotta use the restroom, hopefully, on a frequent basis, or that gets pretty uncomfortable. Or how about sleep? Some of you guys try to skip that rhythm and play video games all the time, and how are you the next day? Like, sleep's pretty important. You can only go a couple days without, like, really falling apart. Exercise. And you're like, I don't like to exercise, but you know how crazy you'd go if you couldn't move around? What if you were just, like, all in, like, this, like, you know those, like, straitjackets they put on you, right? And they put you in a little white room, and you can't move, and you're just stuck, and you can't move. For a whole week, you can't move past that. It'd be terrible. Your body needs exercise. It needs to move, or you'd cramp up and feel terrible. How about talking? Some of you guys could not handle 2 minutes without talking, right? Like, we have these rhythms, these natural things in our lives that we need to be doing. Unfortunately, the most important ones are the spiritual ones that we neglect. We take care of the physical ones because if we don't do it, like, we're going to die. And the spiritual ones, there's some death that comes to us too if we're not doing it. It's just not as visible. Like, when you're not engaging in this rhythm that they're talking about, like, getting in God's Word and being in fellowship with His body, like, you miss out on so much blessing. We can't grow without that rhythm. There's a struggle. There's stuff that is so unhealthy in our lives because we're not in the rhythm of actually fellowshipping with God and with each other. But we want to put other things first sometimes. You know? And so we develop our schedules or our busyness around, I'm going to do these things, and I know it's going to cost me my relationships with people that I'm trying to love on and for the gospel. I won't have time to witness to people or talk to people or build relationships because I'm doing this. It's more important. And our life kind of comes down to that. We look at the schedule of our life, and the schedule becomes something so big that this rhythm doesn't fit anymore. It's like, it's all this. I will only do this activity, and I'm going to live for this. And now I've neglected the spiritual side of my life. Well, that is just as important as eating and drinking and water and breathing. And Jesus says it's more important. Man shouldn't it doesn't live on bread alone, he says. By every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It's more important to be in tune with God than to even eat, he says. He calls the Spirit the water of life. It's more important than water. Like, we need to be engaged in fellowship with God and with each other in order to be healthy. And so that is this rhythm that's happening and producing this joy we're talking about. And look at the next part of this phrase. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. The word glad is the same word as joy. Like, there was joy in their hearts. So as they're engaged in this awesome rhythm of fellowship with God and fellowship with others, it produced a joy in their hearts. It made them generous and glad. And look what they do because of that joy. It says, praising God. What do you do when you go to a concert? A concert you actually like. Like, do you guys just sit there really quietly in your chair with your hands folded? Behave really well, right? You don't move. You just watch. Is that what you do? You're shaking your heads. You guys don't go to concerts, maybe. Some of you guys are like, yeah, some of you don't know. What if you go to a sweet football game or a sporting event that you really like and your friend's playing and they're winning and it's like just like 2 points in between and there's only 3 seconds left on the clock and you're like, ah! What do? You sit there like this? No, you jump up and down and you scream, right? You're like screaming. Like, when I do this stuff, like, if I go to a concert or a game that I really like, if I'm at a Patriots game, I have no voice by the time I leave. Like, I can't talk anymore because the whole time I'm screaming. I'm excited. I'm cheering on my team. Every time they do something awesome, Tom Brady throws an amazing touchdown pass, which is like every 2 seconds. So I'm always screaming. I'm just like, yes! You know, like, that was awesome. Good job. I'm yelling out praises to things that I think are amazing. I'm like, that's great. That's awesome. That's wonderful. And I'm yelling. Now, we do that all the time. And I might tell you, maybe you're not into concerts and sports. I don't know, whatever. But you have those things in your life you can relate to where you're like, that pumps me up. It gets me excited. It makes me talk about it. And so this joy that forms in our heart, the more we believe that God's real and that Jesus Christ died for us and saved us from an eternity of punishment, like, that should get us pumped. It's so much better than any concert. It's so much better than any touchdown pass. And what it produces in us, that joy, causes us to praise Him and say, thank you. God's awesome. God saved me. And as we're talking to people, whether it be our friends or our family or whatever, like, it's coming out of our mouth because we're just like, I can't stop talking about God. You know what He did for me? Can you believe God did this? God sent His only Son to die on a cross. He's God. He's perfect. And He died for me. And it comes out of us. And we praise Him. Do we praise Him to the point where we, like, lose our voices? Or do we get more excited about physical things than about our entire eternity? I just wonder sometimes what actually gets me to shout praises. And sometimes I need a realignment and say, God, You're worth way more than any of this stuff. And so this joy was causing these people to praise Him. You know, it's funny because we talk about this word evangelism. You guys know what that means? Evangelism? It's like Fia's his little girl's name almost. I can't even say it. Say it. Evangel. Evangel. Yeah. I always want to say Evangeline because of Evangeline Lilly. But anyway, whatever. Evangel. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about evangelism. There we go. Evangel, what does that mean? Does anyone know? telling people about God, right? You're telling people that Jesus Christ died for them and paid the penalty of their sin. And you want people to know that because if they don't know that, they can't get saved. Well, isn't praising God the same thing? Like, we try to make it this weird thing where we got to have like this little piece of paper we take with us and we knock on a door and it's going to be an awkward conversation. It's like, okay, if you die today, where are you going to go? And it's like this weird, like strange, where really evangelism looked like this. Like, my God's incredible and you need to know about Him. He did this and this and this for me. Like, I want you to know the things He's done in my life. He saved me. I used to be this way. I was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And now look at me, like, God's done this and now I'm different and I have a hope. I don't sit in my chair and go, am I going to hell tonight? I can go, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I want you to know that too. Praising God is the same thing as evangelizing because you're shouting out the incredible things God's done in your life so that other people can have that too. So there's this, like, the way we're living and the way we're speaking is lining up in praise to God. And this joy did something else. Look at the next phrase. And having favor with all the people. So these people are so full of joy, they go out and they start serving each other, serving other people. They're giving their money. They're selling their stuff and giving the money to help people who are like in need. They're making sure everyone's fed. They're like taking care of people that need care. Like, it didn't matter. Like, nobody had need because these people were taking care of them. They're like, we're so pumped about what God has done. We're going to take care of everyone. They deserve it. And this love is pouring out of them to other people. So guess what the people are doing? What? Why would you do that? Why would you sell your house and like take all the money and like get me out of my bankruptcy so my kids can eat? You didn't have to do that. Like, why are you caring for me right now? Why are you serving me? Why are you loving me? It's not registering in their head. And so it says that they're gaining favor with the people. The people are like, I don't even know what to say, but thank you. Like, there's something different about you, or you wouldn't do this. I just wonder how many of us are so grateful for what Jesus has done that we're paying that back to the people around us. That it causes us to be different. We treat mom and dad differently because of what Christ has done for us. We obey them better. We give them less attitude. We treat our teachers and our classmates differently. Like, our whole life is just rearranged because we're like, God, my life is about serving you because Jesus became my servant. The King became my servant. That seems upside down. And that joy that's produced in me, that thankfulness, makes me do it for others. And these people are like, what? And so they're gaining favor. I just wonder how many people in your life, you might think, hate your guts. And maybe they do hate your guts. Because the Bible says that as believers, if you follow Jesus, the world's going to hate you. It doesn't say it's going to stay that way all the time. It doesn't say that if you take the gospel to those people and show them the love of Christ, that that's not powerful enough to change their heart. As a matter of fact, we see it over and over in Scripture. I just wonder if you did this to those people in your life that are like, they don't believe in Jesus and they don't like me, that's for sure. What if you treated them with this type of love? What if they heard you explain it, why you're doing it, by saying praises to God, like, I'm doing it because I love Jesus. I'm doing it because Jesus did this for me. I just wonder if that would gain favor. They would start to quickly look at you differently and go, why are you doing this? Like, I don't even like you. And you're doing this for me. I wonder if that would change their mindset and their hearts would start to soften and open up. I can tell you, I've seen that in my life. I've seen some people not at all. They still hate my guts. But you know what? I've seen other people be like, what? And they're some of my closest friends now. They've accepted Christ and they're some of my closest friends. They started off hating me, but I just said, I'm going to love you and serve you. I don't care if you hate my guts. I don't care how mean you are to me. I'm still going to do this for you. And to watch the Holy Spirit do His work through that and change their heart. Guys, it's awesome. But you got to be like, Lord, thank you. You got to be grateful for what He's done for you. And so the last thing it says happened because of the joy. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. These people didn't just like all of a sudden start to like the Christians because they were doing stuff for them. Like, they got saved. It didn't stop. Like, okay, so we're going into a poor village in Guatemala and they have no clothes and no like medicine and no food. So we're going to bring them clothes, medicine, and food. And we walk in, they're like, woohoo! You know, like, these Americans brought us awesome stuff. Like, this is great. We love you guys. Thank you for bringing it to us. So all of a sudden, we've gained favor with the people because they're like, thank you. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, cool, bye. That's it. We gave you some stuff, and then you're going to be hungry later, and you're going to need food again and clothing later. And you still don't know Jesus, and so you're still headed to eternity in hell. You see, that's not the end game. The end game was that these people would know Jesus Christ. I care about your needs. I care about your hurts. I love you, and I'm here for you. And the end game is that through that, you're going to get the most important thing you need. It's to know the God who created you and wants to forgive you. And so that's what these people saw. And it says the Lord took that and added to their number day by day. Those who are being saved. You see that phrase day by day you pointed out earlier that's in there twice? Here it is again. Because as they were doing this every single day, this rhythm, this fellowship between us, and a fellowship between us and God, it was doing something. As we're lifting each other up, serving each other, loving each other, as we're getting to know our God, communing with Him, this rhythm that's happening day by day that we saw in the beginning is playing out day by day in the end. There's a direct connection to that. People are getting saved. I don't know about you, but I want to see people get saved, y'all. I went to Cocoa High School yesterday. I was just hanging out with a bunch of kids. And I talked to a lot of kids who didn't want to have anything to do with God. And they were very clear and open with me. They were honest. They weren't being mean, but they're like, I just don't care about God. And as I talk to those people, those are the people I think of in my head as I tell you, I want to see people get saved. I'm thinking of Marco that I talked to yesterday. And I'm like, God, will you save Marco? He doesn't know you. He doesn't care. Y'all, do we want to see people know Jesus so they can spend eternity in heaven? And if so, like the fellowship with us and the fellowship with God, this is a daily thing. As we're living life together and with God, we're asking for the power to say, Lord, you saved us. Will you use us to tell other people about this so they can be saved too? That's a joy, y'all. It's incomparable. There's nothing like it. All right? Will you pray with me as we close? I just want to ask you a couple questions with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you're saved, you're like, I believe in Jesus. This fellowship is real. Like, I get it. Will you just raise your hand up for me? Don't look anywhere. Keep your eyes closed, but just pop your hand up just so I know who I'm talking to here. Like, I believe in Jesus. Okay, I can see your hands. Keep them up for 1 second. You believe in Christ. Let me ask you this question then. Where is your joy at? Are you able to look in and say, yep, it's there. Like, I am full of joy because I'm saved. And it pumps me up. Not in just an emotional way, but a real, true way. I'm not going to hell. I am so grateful for what God's done. Can you find that joy inside your heart as you think about it right now? I know your hands are getting tired. You can put them down, but I want you to keep thinking. Is it in there? Is it in there? Yes. I believe that Christ has died for me. And that fills me with joy and gratefulness. Does it overflow out of you to other people? If it's there, you're like, yes, I'm pumped about it, but I'm not doing anything about it. Will you let it overflow to other people? Will you get excited and say, look, I want people to know what I know and what I have? Believers, it's time for us to stand up and start telling our friends and telling our family that God is awesome and that He can save them. And that comes from the joy in you. If there's no joy in you, you're not going to do this. You're going to sit dry and you're not going to share because you're not yourself joyful about it. You take a minute right now, if that's you, just ask God and say, Lord, will you put that joy in me? Will you remind me? I want to ask you yourself, take a couple steps, get in the Word of God. And start reading your Bible. Tell God, like, I need to know more about you. pray to him, talk to him. Get around some people who are going to, like your life group leaders or people in your life group who are going to encourage you, your mom and your dad, your family. Have them encourage you about who God is. Those are the three ways we get that joy, y'all. Pray and ask God right now, give me that joy. Help me do my part to read the Word and pray and be around the fellowship. And if you're here tonight and you're like, I don't have that joy because I'm not saved and I know that I don't know Christ, will you just pop your hand up for me? Can I just see your hand so I can pray for you? I just want to know, like, and there's some people in there that just need to know Jesus. Is that you tonight? I just want to say a word of prayer for you guys. I want to ask God to do this work in us. Make us joyful for what He's done for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God, that Jesus Christ, your Son, the perfect Lamb of God, died for broken, sinful people like us. Lord, I confess to you, I know I don't deserve that. But I'm so grateful that you did, Lord. Will you fill us with joy? Help us to recognize how incredibly huge that gift is you've given us, and help us to scream out from the rooftops how great you are. Let it overflow out of us to serve other people and praise you and tell them about how great you are, Lord. And let us see other people get saved and know you as their Savior. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.